Now we're speaking on the subject, when God turned from the nation Israel to the Gentiles. I'd like to have you notice in the 14th chapter of the book of Acts at the 27th verse. And if you have the date at the top of your Bible, as I've said many times, if we knew exactly what day this took place, we ought to celebrate it more than we do the 4th of July or any other day. This is one of the greatest days in the history of the world so far as the Gentiles are concerned. Now notice what Paul said here in the 27th verse of the 14th chapter of the book of Acts. When they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened up the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Now, I don't think there's a Jew in the audience here. I think we're all Gentiles. And here we learn that some years, about 13 or 14 years after Christ died, Paul, who calls himself in Romans 11:13, the apostle of the Gentiles, he said, God opened the door. Now we have thousands of religious theologians that decided that door was open before God opened it, and so they get into the wrong place. They get into the kingdom of heaven instead of into the body of Christ. They think they do. And they preach their people there, not knowing the difference between the tabernacle of David and the church, which is the body of Christ. Now, when God tells you that he opened the door, it's never been shut. There are certain mission fields and countries like China and Tibet and several of the islands. They have shut the door in the face of the missionaries. And the missionaries cannot get through those closed doors. They won't let them in. But at the same time, there's some Christians in all of those lands, and if they preach Christ and the people are saved, the door is wide open. And they're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, and God opened that door some 12 or 14 years after the day of Pentecost. And someday, very suddenly, God's going to close that door. But it's wide open. It's wide open in Chicago. And you and I can say we're doorkeepers in the house of the Lord. That is, we point to the open door. And that open door is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you'll notice what Paul said in the 13th chapter of the book of Acts, at the 46th verse. Then Paul and Barnabas, they are in the Jewish synagogue now. They're talking to the rabbi and to the Jewish people. They waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you Jews. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. I wish that would ring in your ears and your heart all afternoon and all week. Acts 13:48. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Now, when he said, lo, we turn to the Gentiles, it means that God is turning to the Gentiles as he had not turned ever before. If you will read the first chapter of Romans, you will learn this. Now get this in your mind. Abram was not a Jew. Abram was not an Israelite. At the time Abram was saved, at the age of 75, the human race was not divided into Jews and Gentiles because there were no Jews or Gentiles. They were all called nations. And it's very interesting to note that in the Old Testament, the same Hebrew word is translated Gentiles, nations, and heathen. So when God called Abram, you can keep this in your mind. Abram lived just about as long before Christ as we live this side of Christ. We live 1954 A.D., Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. Abraham was living 1954 B.C. Now, when God called Abram, he is called the friend of God. He called him out of the wreck and ruin of the human race. At that time, God had given up the Gentiles or the nations. They did not want to retain the knowledge of God in their minds, and God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And the whole human race, about 2000 B.C., the whole human race was in idolatry and adultery. And God says they lived in such unspeakable sin that you cannot even mention it in a mixed audience. Now, if you had heard the missionary that we heard this week out in Wheaton, you would know that exactly what is explained and described in the first chapter of Romans is going on in the heathen world today. The only difference between the heathen in the America and in the heathen land, the heathen over here have received some light. They're Christianized agnostics and heathen. And it's the mark of respectability not as to fall as deep into sin as the heathen in Africa and China in the islands of the sea. But while you and I are here this morning, more than 1 billion heathen are doing exactly what God describes of the Gentiles in the first chapter of Romans. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. They have gone lower than any animal, if you would have heard them seen the pictures we saw. They're lower than any animal or brute on this earth. And there would be millions and millions in the United States and in Europe would do the same thing if it was not for the fact that they want the mark of respectability. But as far as the human heart is concerned, it's never changed since the days of the flood when God says every imagination of the heart was evil continually. Now, it's one thing to be a heathen with a Christian religion veneer and to be over there as Mr. Newell called the raw heathen. Now, God gave them up. And God began about 1900 B.C., began an entirely new movement. And after he began that new movement, he says, I'm going to have a new nation. And he said, Abraham and thy seed shall all the family of the earth be blessed. Isaac was born when Abraham was 100 years old. About 60 years later, Jacob was born. And when he was in manhood, God changed his name from Jacob, who was a cheater and a supplanter. God changed his name to Israel, meaning prevailing with God and power with God. Now, Israel is mentioned over 3,000 times in the Bible, and the word Christian is mentioned only 3 times. Anybody ought to know then that the word Israel is the key to the Bible. Every line in the Bible was written by an Israelite. Our Savior was an Israelite. Every apostle was an Israelite. Every word in this Bible was written by an Israelite. Every word that we have. So God said, who are the Israelites, and to whom pertaineth the adoption and the giving of the law and the service of God, and to whom Christ came, who is God over all, blessed forever. So you can see the place of Israel. Now, when God cut off the Gentiles, after that they were called aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. What did that mean? It meant exactly this. When God gave up the Gentiles, they were given up. And the only way then that an Israelite or a Gentile could come to God, he had to become an Israelite by religion. If you read in Esther 8:17, it says that many of the Persian Gentiles became Jews. A Jew today, in order to be saved and in the salvation relation to God, a Jew today has to become a Christian. Before that, a Gentile had to become a Jew. And on the day of Pentecost, remember that Peter preached to Jews only. He said, let all the house of Israel know that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified both Lord and Christ. And then he gave them a double message. He says to Israel, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He says, repent, and God will send Jesus Christ back to this earth for the millennium. And he said, of these millennium kingdom days, all of the prophets wrote. He said, Samuel told about them, Moses told about them, and all the Old Testament prophets said there would be a kingdom on this earth, and Israel's Messiah would be on the throne of David and would reign. Well, the Jews responded to that message, a few of them. The others threw Peter and John in jail. Stephen then arose to confirm Peter's message, and he said, surely the Son of Man wants to come back. I see him standing at the right hand of God in the 7th chapter of Acts. What's he standing up there for? He's standing there waiting for Israel to repent so he will come back. Someday Israel's going to repent, but they're going to be forced to repent in the great tribulation that's coming on this earth, and the Son of Man will be the judge standing at the door, and suddenly he will appear, and he will come back to this earth. Now, Peter said, repent. Peter never told anybody that if they'd believe, they could be justified from all things. He says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Receive the Holy Spirit. Repent, and God will send Jesus Christ back to earth again. Now, let's notice. Here's a key to the whole thing in the 18th chapter of the book of Acts. In the 18th chapter of the book of Acts, we have a wonderful man. We have two wonderful men here, but I want to tell you and want you to understand and read the story of Apollos. Now notice, first of all, in the 18th chapter of Acts, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila. And because he was of the same craft, Paul abode with Aquila and his wife Priscilla. I want you to think of it. How would you like to have been there for about a month or two with him? Paul had been caught up into the third heaven. He had talked with the Lord Jesus Christ. He had given him a new gospel and a new message concerning a new dispensation. And he had such an abundance of revelation that he had to receive the messenger of Satan to buffet him, a thorn in the flesh. And God revealed to him something that he'd never told to anybody else. And there every day they would sit at the table and Paul would tell Aquila all about it. Wasn't that wonderful? So Aquila knew all about it. Now notice in the 24th chapter, here's a wonderful man. Here's a Jew who was an ideal, exceptional character. A certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria. Now notice the first thing about him. He was an eloquent man. He was mighty in the scriptures. Wouldn't you like to have that said about you? That you're eloquent, that you're mighty in the scriptures? This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. Three things about him. Now get him. He was eloquent. He was mighty in the scriptures. He was instructed in the way of the Lord. He was fervent in the spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, and he began to speak boldly. Seven things said about this man. He was an unusual, outstanding man, but he was not preaching God's truth up to date. He knew only the baptism of John. He knew only what Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost. He didn't understand the new message. So what happened? Notice what happened. As he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, and when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Aquila says, I live in the home with Paul. And the Lord Jesus has revealed to Paul a new message called the gospel of grace of God, concerning which Peter and the others did not know anything. And I'd like to tell you that your message is not up to date. You're preaching that which was preached to the Jews in the kingdom with the kingdom of the heaven key. Now I want to give you the gospel of the grace of God. There are millions of Christians and hundreds of thousands of preachers who are just exactly like Apollos today. They are fervent in spirit. They're genuine so far as their convictions are concerned. And they're eloquent. And they're mighty in the scriptures, but they're just like Apollos. They're preaching a message that's not God's message for 1954, never has been God's message since he revealed a new message to the Apostle Paul. Now then, Aquila taught him the way of God more perfectly. That's where Apollos is different from the average preacher today, because the average preacher will not let you bring him up to date and show you the difference between Peter's Pentecost message and the message that the Lord revealed the Apostle Paul later on. Now let's see how clear it is for us. And this is the first time it was ever preached in the 13th chapter of the book of Acts. Let's note it. He says to the Jews, he's there in the synagogue. You know, when the rabbi had finished his message in the synagogue, somebody said, there are a couple of converted Jews back here. They're Nazarenes. Let's give them an opportunity to speak. They made a great mistake. So they went back to Barnabas and Saul and said, would you like to say a word? And Paul said, I certainly would. So he got up, and this is what he said to them. And if you'd go in the synagogue today and preach what Paul preached to them, they'd throw you out. Notice what he said in the 26th verse. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is this word of salvation preached. For they that dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, that's the rabbis and the scribes and Pharisees, because they knew Jesus Christ not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. About 6 years ago, there were 7 Jewish synagogues on the north side. Now there are 21 and 3 more building, 24. Who's responsible for those synagogues going up? The modernists in the Presbyterian and the Methodist and the Baptist church that believe exactly concerning Jesus Christ and the scriptures what the Jewish rabbis believe. They've encouraged them to go ahead with their infidelity, and they're in the same condition. The rabbis every Sabbath, they're blind. Jesus Christ said, if you'd believe Moses, you would believe me. They don't believe anything. They have an empty shell. Because Jesus Christ said, he that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father. I am the way, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And no man knoweth the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son shall make him known. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And I want to tell you, you can talk all you want and make all your testimony that you believe in God, but no man believes in God who does not believe that Jesus Christ was God in human form. No person who denies that Jesus Christ was Almighty God in human form is a Christian. You may have a religious Christian veneer, but you're not a Christian unless you believe, because you make God a liar. According to John, he says, anyone who does not believe the record that God has given concerning Jesus Christ hath made God a liar. And he says here, notice, they that dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled the Old Testament scriptures in condemning Christ. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet they desired Pilate that he should be put to death. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree, laid him in a sepulcher, but God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee. Now notice, here's the first time the message was preached. And I said to the people last Wednesday night, I never shout hallelujah much in a meeting. But after I was saved, a short time after I was saved, I read Acts 13, 38 and 39 when I was just a young Christian, and I jumped up in that room and I shouted, hallelujah, glory to God. This is the first time such news was ever given to the human race in this language. Listen to it. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, Jesus Christ, all that believe are justified from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now, wouldn't you have thought that those Jews who had struggled under the bondage and yoke of the law for 1,500 years, wouldn't you have thought that they would have been so happy? What a message! Be it known unto you that through Jesus Christ is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And let me say what I've said so many times. You cannot get into heaven with one single sin. If one sin would get into heaven, then heaven would cease to be heaven. You must get rid of every sin before you ever leave this earth if you're going to get into heaven. And how do you get rid of it? Through faith in Jesus Christ is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And notice the next verse. By Jesus Christ all that believe are justified from all things which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Do you know what it means to be justified? It has a twofold meaning. First of all, the very moment you come by faith to Calvary and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, God imputes his righteousness. The very moment a believer is saved, that believer receives perfect righteousness. And when you receive perfect righteousness, in 10 billion trillion years from today, when you're in glory, your righteousness will not be one whit more perfect than it was the moment you received it, because it isn't yours. It's imputed. It's God's righteousness given to you. This isn't religion. This is the good news for the human race. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. The only way God could have ever gotten anybody into heaven was to preach a message of 100% grace. All the rest of the time, they were all their lifetime subject to bondage through fear of death, and they received the spirit of bondage unto fear. They didn't know what it meant to be saved by the grace of God until this message came out. And Paul follows this up with Romans 3:24 and says this. He says, being justified without a cause by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I say again, Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God, but there are men who mix in Judaism with the gospel of grace, and they pervert the gospel and they subvert souls. Over 75% of the church members of Chicago have subverted souls instead of converted souls because of the Judaizing teachers that have mixed Moses and Peter's kingdom message in with the gospel of the grace of God. The greatest news that God ever gave to the human race is the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Insulting God by offering religion or church membership or something else. God's not a merchant. God's a king. He wants to give you eternal life. He tested the human race for 1,500 years under the law. And how did it end up? The law keepers and the Sabbath keepers nailed the Son of God to the cross when a heathen wanted to let him go. And that's what religion has always done. Who killed 29 million Christians in 15th century? The most religious Christian people, so-called, on this earth. And they'll do it again as soon as they have the opportunity. And they're looking for that opportunity, and don't you forget it. And they're dividing us into 275 camps while they're growing together and becoming bold and all of that, and worshiping Mary in the place of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you forget it. We're headed for something, and you better look out. A dear godly woman out at Wheaton, she's a praying woman, an old woman. She says, I've watched this thing for 40 years. She says, America's had the chance, and America's passed the peak, and we're going down like Rome. And he says, there's nothing that's going to ever stop us. We're going down, we passed the peak. And we got a bunch of dead church members all over the country. And next to the metaphysical cults and modernism, one of the worst things that we have today is the dead orthodoxy in the church. Evangelical in some kind of a head doctrine, but not evangelistic, as our brother Jack prayed. That we might be evangelistic on our feet. You haven't an opportunity to lose. Every time you meet somebody, tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell them about it, because that's the only thing. When God says the great apostasy is come, he said, preach the word and do the work of an evangelist. That's the only hope, the word of God. Now you see the beautiful message here, how it developed. Then God opened up a door, and the people who were Gentiles no longer had to become proselytes. You know, on the day of Pentecost, there were some Gentiles there, but they were called proselytes. Why? Because they were Jew, they were Gentiles who had accepted the Jewish religion. And when Peter preached, he didn't preach to Gentiles. 6 years later, he preached to one Gentile by the name of Cornelius, and all of the other 11 apostles condemned him for preaching to Cornelius, because he had only been preaching to proselytes. Now when the Lord said, Paul, I want to separate you for a new ministry. You're not going to make proselytes out of the Gentiles. And the Jews will no longer come as the children of Abraham. They'll have to come as the children of Adam, just the same as the Gentiles. There's no difference. Now the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared. And I want to say what I've said so many times. The grace of God is just as free, and salvation is free. You go out and take in that beautiful sunshine and that air today. Just as you breathe in that air and take in the sunshine, just so easily can you look to Calvary and be saved for all eternity. The free gift of God is eternal life. And after you're saved by the grace of God, remember this, that God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that always having all sufficiency, you might abound toward every good work. And you'll not frustrate the grace of God in doctrine, and you'll not fall short of the grace of God in Christian living, as our brother said. We need to walk circumspectly, redeeming the time. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But it's grace first, last, and all the time. Eternal grace, an eternity of grace that was given us in Christ before the foundation of the world and the ages to come. He'll show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's be at least go as far as Apollos did. Let's don't go back. Let's go on. There are people today who say, back to Jesus and the four gospels. Others say, back to Pentecost. The Lord says, on to perfection. On with Apollos. Not again laying the foundation of these things. Not back to the keys of the kingdom of heaven, which has wrecked the fundamental movement and wrecked others in this country by going back and beginning with Peter and the 11 instead of going on with the Apostle Paul in the great gospel of the grace of God and the truth. Let's bow our heads.